Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's your boy, Lord Leonard, here with Limitless with Lord Leonard. In the studio with me, I have Ruckus Man.
What's going on, everybody? Get ready for the bullshit.
Also with me, I have Miss Iridescence, CEO of Iridescence Media.
Peace, love, and life to the melanated and the melanin recessive.
And we have a very...
That's the white and the black people.
And we have a very special guest caller, Mr. Andrew Green, former crisis unit in the social worker department in Winnipeg, Canada. Current senior plant manager at Fluence Corp. Advisor to Cellular Walk in Clinic. Also in Winnipeg, Canada, currently developing a new venture called Coastline Tours. Please give it up for my guest, Mr. Andrew Green.
Snap it up.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
So, Mr. Green, tell everybody a little about yourself, man, before we really get into the nitty gritty of things.
Wow. Well, just a young man, just like anybody else, with a very simple story. I grew up in the Grove, in Nassau, in the hood. And I've learned how to get myself out the right way without doing any illegal activities.
Can we just take a little pause right there, Mr. Green? Being Nassauvian, you say you grew up in the Grove.
Yeah. Yes.
You and I both know that in Nassau there are two Groves. So I can need you to be a little more specific as to which Grove. Because, you know, in some circles, when you like, if you went to a private school and you say, I live in the Grove, that's out west. And then if you went to R.M. Bailey and you say you live in the Grove, you walk right around the corner.
Okay, the R.M. Bailey right around the corner.
Oh, okay, that particular Grove. Okay,
he grew up in the Hizzard.
In the Hizzard.
The H to the double O D. Okay. That is wonderful, wonderful. We're gonna dive right into this right away. And with question one, what made you want to be an entrepreneur? And after making that choice, what were some of the things that you fought against as it relates to family, friends, and even former colleagues?
Well, that's even itself.
Hitting heavy. First question.
What made me want to be an entrepreneur? To be honest with you, time. We grew up in a system where, you know, the average person works 25, 30 years, if they make it there. And, you know, we do the typical stuff. We get a mortgage. We, you know, go to the bank, finance a car. And we work for someone. And that someone tells us when to come to work, what to do, how to do it. Even though they hire you, they still tell you what to do, to do the job.
That's weird.
It's very weird. Yeah. And on top of it, your time, you don't really have it. You'd be surprised how quick 5 years go by.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's my thing. It's all about time for me.
Okay. Now, what were some of the difficulties faced after you made that choice to become an entrepreneur? What were some of the difficulties faced from your family, from your friends, and former colleagues? Because I know there were times where you left the job to pursue your goals.
Yeah. I mean, even if you got to go mentally, you got to go. But when it comes to friends, it's no such thing as friends. You know, you're going to always have friends only jump on the bandwagon once they start to see it grow. They see the success. Nobody wants to go with you to the trenches.
I do believe the proper term for that is liking man.
What about the women? There are some women.
Liking man has no sexual preference. There's a difference between women liking men and just somebody liking man.
Yeah. Okay. Women like men. People like man.
That's like
people like man.
Okay.
Like, y'all ain't gay. Y'all just weird. Okay, so did you face scrutiny and rejection from friends and family and colleagues?
Of course, that's automatic. That's a part of the gift.
Mm.
You know, like I said, you're gonna have friends. You know, it's always gonna be a great idea. Yeah, you know, bro, I believe in you. But who could put their money up? Even I said that on a Breakfast Club one day.
Mm.
You can have all the friends in the world, but who can put their bread up
mm-hmm.
to help you get to see this vision? Mm-hmm. It's rare. Mm-hmm. Family, no support. That's most family.
None whatsoever.
And could you elaborate a little bit more on, you said no support. Was it that they didn't believe in the vision or that they wanted you to stay on the plantation for the next 30, 40 years to get that sure money?
Ooh.
You know, it's different age brackets, you know.
Mm.
And we get, like, again, you got to go back in the history, right? You know, their way of coming up was, you know, doing it the long model. That's what I call it, you know, the 15 years in the job, 25 mm. years, 30 years, save your money, go on a couple of big ASUS, stock it. You know, there was no escape plan. Buy a property, pay the mortgage down for 15 years, and hopefully go in and get some equity and borrow a loan against it.
Mm.
You know, hoping to live that you're going to see next week, the week after, the day after that, and the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People live as if debt is not real. They live as debt is something that's just going to just magically appear when they want it to, when they're ready to go. No, it doesn't work like that. So when I say it comes to no support, meaning that, yeah, they like your idea, you know, but trying to watch you get up faster than what they did, that's where he come in. You know, who really love you.
That sounds like a breeding ground for jealousy.
Yes.
I do want to ask this, Mr. Green. Were you, when it came to persons that didn't support you or they didn't want to see the vision, exactly how close were those relations? So for example, was it like your mother or your father, if you were dating someone at the time, was it a sibling, cousins, like exactly how deep was and how close was the connection that you saw that, well, shit, this person really ain't gonna support me?
Well, I mean, you got aunties, you got uncles.
Yeah.
You got your first cousins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got your brother sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know. My mom has always been supportive. I definitely give her, you know, shout out to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to all the moms. Once again, shout out to all the moms.
She's always been supportive. Mm-hmm. Someone that you're dating, sleeping with, seeing in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be a worse enemy too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a risk assessment, you know. Anytime you deal in engineering, you're dealing with plants and movements of substance, these different things, we'll make a city run. And we always look at risk assessment, right?
Mm-hmm.
How well we could operate under his maximum stress, you know. And that's what you have to do to some people sometimes. Mm-hmm. You got to see how well they can operate under you putting them under maximum stress.
Mm.
And that's how you purify who for you and who ain't for you.
Mm.
You know, everybody, like I say, everybody could jump in the plane, hop in the car, hop in the truck, and, you know, they want to ride on smooth roads like you're driving Bahama. You know, but in this real life, in the life that we live, you're going to face challenges all around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I can tell you my story.
Mm.
When I first took the risk to move to Canada and I left Alanis, everybody told me I was stupid. Like, I can remember the day standing up as a lifeguard. I think just came out of high school. I might have spent a year or something like that. And one of the guys like, but you were leaving there, but yeah, you could leave a good job. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, if people called $281 a good job, I mean, that's just kudos to them. But, you know, I couldn't take the, you know, cross your arms, cross your legs, go down the slide and watching a, you know, white person enjoy their holidays I mean, and we're just catering to this industry. Mm-hmm. There was no growth. Mm-hmm. And growth only came after you spent 10 to 11 years of someone telling you what to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. All right. So I knew that I could have played a little bit of basketball at the time. And I had a few offers. And I took the risk, $351 in my bank account, not knowing how the hell I'm going to get an apartment or how I'm going to pay school fees. And let me tell you something. That was the best risk I ever take in my life. Mm-hmm. I never knew how well fate works when you put your mind to something at 110%. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would like all the young people to know that. It's not where you is right now. That seems like there's never a light at the end of the tunnel, because there's never going to be no light at no end of the tunnel. This tunnel is continuous. Mm. Only thing you're going to do in this tunnel is feel something to the left, feel something to the right. You know, might walk over a little hill, drop in a little hole, but it's all about continuing moving. You got to keep moving, you know.
A constant progress. And
constant progress. That's what fate is, right? Fate is something that you can't see. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe in a God that we cannot see, but we know he's around us every day from the works we see. You know, the sun rises, the moon comes up, the stars shine. You know, you see the phenomenons like hurricanes and all these different things. So we know that someone had to create it, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have this fate. But do we have that same type of faith we have in God into us? You know, we must be, they say we are made in his image, which I 100% believe, right? So if we're made in his image, that means we're made like God. So that means we have to be someone like of a God on this planet Earth. So if I have faith in myself and I have faith in the Creator, then I know for 100% whatever I envision, it has to come to pass. You know, doors open up in such some of the most weirdest ways, like you never expect it. Like, what made me left Atlantis at the time was I was on a post. We call it, I think it was one of the slides, and the pyramid, and I was so upset. We used to play this game called Killing, right? So we used to play this game was like, who can leave you on your post for the longest before you take lunch, right? So at this time, I was sort of fed up. I've been in this one post for 2 hours, sun beaming down. And a guy came to me and he said, why do you look so unhappy? I didn't bother to respond. No, bad tourism manners, don't do that. And so he said, what's the difference between me and you? And so I said, I don't know. Different colors, different ethnic race. Mm-hmm. And so he said to me, no. He said, the difference between me and you is I create uniforms you wear. He said, the minute you start learning how to create uniforms, you will not be up here so upset. And that motivated me in a sense of a way, because he was saying to me, basically, I am free to enjoy something that you have to work and watch me do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're tired of watching, then you need to do something about it. And I took that and I ran with it. Mm-hmm. And I think I spoke to one of my coworkers, Dario, you know. I always remember Dario. Dario is a very key asset that got me to where I am.
Shout out to Dario.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dario, you know. So Dario said to me, I saw Dario coming to work. He happy, brand new car, big chain. I'm like, what the hell going on this way? Are we making the same money? And so Dario says to me, so I asked Dario, what you doing? Dario said, nothing. I'm working just like everybody else. I say, but you just seem so like you're just comfortable. So he said, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I can tell you what to do. So he said, go to Blockbuster. That's when Blockbuster is open. Shout out to Harbor Bay, right? And he said, go and purchase a DVD called The Secret.
There you go.
And I didn't know anything about this at all. Clueless. Like this, and this is where my perception, because everything is perception. Mm-hmm. And I went to Blockbuster, took $5, got the last DVD. At 7, but I think by 8 o'clock the night, I popped it in, and I mean, I just soaked it all in. Talk about law of attraction, using the universe to attract things to you, thinking in a positive manner, understanding how much negativity we have around us, and how difficult it is to constantly tell yourself these positive things, these positive emotions, right? And I went ahead, and after that DVD, like, I just applied it to my life because I really wanted that change. Mm-hmm. And within three months, this is no joke, 3 months I was in Canada. I still, after the day, can't explain it. But it was just that the minute I started focusing, I need to go to school. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm applying myself. And it just, doors just start opening one by one by one by one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I didn't think about, okay, well, what's next? You know, I got to get a job. You know, I got to be able to find a school fee and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fate. See, you already met God two steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's going to do the rest because mm-hmm. you're not making that leap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got cross, and I was able to stay with my coaches at the time. And I ended up going, I play drums, you know, in church. I grew up in church.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up playing for this church. The pastor at the time was a CEO of a section, of a part of Social Work Canada, right? Okay. He had a contract. And he asked me what I was doing. I said, you know, I was just working at McDonald's, flipping burgers, something I thought I'd never do, right? I was working at a call center. And he said, something about you is unique. I never, ever knew, I didn't know anything about social work. I didn't know anything about community support service and hard work. He brought me in for an interview. And here's where passion and dedication kicks in. See, if you got those two things,
mm-hmm.
you would go anywhere in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could be hungry for it. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't know the information for something because you got that compassion for it, but you could suck up everything possible as quickly as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the interview. Boom. Got in as a community support worker, starting off.
Okay.
Kid from the Bahamas.
Mm.
When they first brought me the contract, I was scared to sign it because it was too much money. I never seen it in my life.
Big bucks for them.
They compensate well in Canada.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, and I've never seen it. I was dumbfounded. I must have spent at least 30 minutes. And Erin Massey was the HR assistant at the time. She said, are you not going to sign it? And I was so scared. I thought I was going to get locked up. I was committing fraud or something. No, for real, for real. I can always remember it.
Mm.
And I signed it, you know. And I, you know, started working. And then my boss came to me, BJ Engel. He's like, you know what? Andrew, I really like your spirit. I'm going to put you through school. Just like that.
Wow.
My awesome. Tuition was paid.
Okay.
So would you say becoming an entrepreneur has a lot to do with faith?
Yes. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't know the product. We could say, listen, I could be the person like, you know what, I'm going to start a t-shirt business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that the machines are going to work after I pay $4,000 for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about if that $4,000 is my only $4,000?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to make a profit if the machine is down?
Mm.
So I got to come into the game of saying, but listen, I'm going to order 100 shirts. I'm going to spend $4,000 on this machine. God, that's all the money I got. You know, I can set up this my branding the way I need it to be. Hey, God, you want to lead the way? I have to sell these shirts. For my walk-ins, for my start this business with that mentality, mm-hmm. that I'm coming to win no matter what I could think could be a loss, you already won.
Mm.
You already won.
Okay.
And that's all it is.
Mm.
Okay. It also sounds like, in addition to faith, it also sounds like a particular mindset, a mindset that says, like you said, listen, I'm going to win regardless. So after you looking at the secret and seeing all of the law of attraction and all of those elements, there's a certain mindset that you have in addition to that faith.
Correct. That helped to develop that mindset. Mm-hmm. Typically, the typical human don't have that. And it's, yeah. if you could try it out. Talk to 10 different people, give them the same idea, and talk about faith with it. You're going to get 10 different reactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to somebody about a 5-year plan. Average women don't have a 5-year plan. Like it's like we just live. We wake up today, get up, go to work. We work, live, play. Come back home, nothing.
Mm.
Like nothing's going to change.
Mm.
You know, yeah. Now we in this COVID-19 situation.
Mm.
It's waking up a lot of everybody. Mm. You know, bartenders who's making $4,000 every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seeing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That could never be wrapped around in their mind. You can never tell them that, wait, someday this is going to stop, you know? And like I said, like you said, it's all about a mindset. You know, from you then change the way you look at finances, the way you change the way you look at how the world operates, the way you change the way how you look at the country operate. All these things impact your life. Mm-hmm. You know, look at us now in Bimini. We're in the quarantine.
Yes.
Who would ever thought the government would tell you you have to stay inside for a flu?
Damn near martial law.
Martial law.
Mr. Gray, I wanna ask you this. I wanted to find out if you could speak to the difference between having a positive mindset and moving by faith, as opposed to just wishful thinking or flippant and imaginary way of thinking.
Imaginary way of thinking wastes a lot of time. A lot of people set goals and they be like, okay, this is what I want to do. Right? And the minute they hit the first roadblock is I'm done. I can't do it. It didn't make any sense. It's impossible. Nothing is never impossible. You have faith, you realize nothing is never impossible. It's just that you encountered a problem, but there's a solution. In engineering, we would say that you have a problem, there will always be a solution. Now, it's either you change the part or you replace the whole thing, right? But sometimes you can't just replace the whole thing. So you've got to figure out a way, what makes this part work, right? Also, for me, for instance, on a water plant, right? It's a whole lot of moving parts. It's a whole lot of data. It's a whole lot of machinery, pipelines, you name it. All have to work together to produce clean water from the ocean. You know, if one part goes down, you know, some things could work, but then sometimes some things cannot work. You know, because you start to get false reading. You start getting false reading, the person that is operating might then begins to panic. So what he does, if he's not experienced, he shuts down, right? He shuts down, you lose money. You can't afford to lose money. And so it's the same thing in life, you know?
Okay. The reason why I asked was because a lot of times we've found that, you know, people hear what they want to hear. Oh, but I had a positive attitude and I believe in God and I go on to sell my cup and buy again. My cup and buy again selling. Jesus done sell me out. And No. There needs to be more practicality said to, in addition to, you know, having faith and a positive attitude and more like the nuts and bolts of it. I like how you mentioned the time periods between how things happen. As people tend to think it's, I have a positive idea this morning and I'm going to be rich this afternoon. No, nigga, don't work like that. Okay.
I also think it's consistency because
yes,
persons have a tendency of starting a business and after the first year that the business doesn't bring in $1 million in that year, oh, I have to close down. I can't afford this. This is where investment comes from. You're not going to see a profit for the first 5 to 7 years. Am I right, Mr. Green?
You're correct. 100%.
You're not going to see a profit for the first five to seven years. And if you're ready to quit by year one, maybe you didn't have the right mindset. Maybe you didn't have the right concept. Maybe something along the pattern of becoming an entrepreneurship, you calculated something wrong. Because at the end of the day, if you are really, really, really sure, if you're really, really sure you want to be financially free or be an entrepreneur, you have to realize, I'm not going to be rich in a year. Well, I may not even hit 30,000 a year. You have major corporations not making a dollar for the first 10 years. But they keep investing. They keep advertising. And over a period of time, that's when you see the millions and the billions. And because their investment is now, okay, you've invested enough. And when the money's like, okay, I'm paying you back now. You didn't put me here. I'm working. It's time for me to pay you back.
One of my mentors says it, and I think in ways that most people can understand, starting a business is like having a baby. It is. You cannot expect the baby to do anything. It has to grow and mature.
Mm-hmm.
So, baby can't wash dishes, can't wash clothes. The baby can't do nothing.
Just shouldn't eat.
Pretty much.
Yep. Eat up all your money.
But if you nurture that baby properly, as time grows on, you're going to begin to see the fruits of your patience.
Also, in addition to that, too, because touching on what you mentioned earlier, Ruckus, in terms of persons just wanting that, Jesus is supposed to be here because I asked for this wish.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is to a lot of persons is, hey, listen, what planning did you do?
Mm-hmm.
Did you write out your plan? Mm-hmm. Did you write the steps that you needed to write to get to whatever goal it is that you want to get to? Because a lot of times as a culture, we think, well, my mind is right. I'm thinking positively and I got Jesus on my side.
Mm-hmm.
But did you write your strategic plan?
No. Did you even follow your strategic plan?
I would imagine, Mr. Green, there were many times you had to write down what the path was, and there were many times you had to adjust the path, correct?
Ooh, too many to count. too many to count. Like Meekness said in an interview before, he's like, people see me now, but he's been rapping for 7 years prior to becoming famous.
Mm-hmm.
He would have now he would have been 14 years in.
Mm.
He's now reaping the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things take time.
They do. You know what I find interesting? It's so interesting that you said that. We live in a society where everybody wants it now.
Now that microwave.
Microwave society.
We want instant gratification. And the thing is, even our lives aren't like that, because we weren't born yesterday. Some people act like they were born yesterday.
No, they're born as big as they are.
But even we ourselves had to take time.
Yes.
So a lot of times you hear Bahamians say, like how you mentioned, Leonard, it's going to take 5 to 7 years for the business. 5 to 7 years? I don't have no time for that. Mm-hmm. But you don't have time for that, but you sure got 35, 40 years to waste at the post office.
Or you got 10 years to pay back that loan.
Y'all got that time. You see what I'm saying?
Because let's be real, the average behemoth isn't going to pay. If you borrow $10,000 and you manage to get $10,000 in less time to pay it back, chances are you're not going to pay that loan back fully.
Oh, no. There will be
You got a ball.
There will be some living of best life gain done. There will be some loving of thyself. All of that shit.
Let's not forget to get to take care of the fellas that like in man.
Yeah, so is it boy?
People that like in man. You know, buying a case of Hennessy.
Believe it or not, that's a dangerous thing, you know. I don't think we understand how dangerous that is.
Mm-hmm.
We can't create teams. Like I said, in every business, you need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's point blank. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the world's top businesses, Amazon, he doesn't own it all by himself. That's why he has over 1 million shares.
Yes.
Right? Yes. The CEO, because he owns majority shares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same thing with the company I work for now, Fluence. Mm-hmm. He don't own it all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a board to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
If we as young behemoths do not start to come together as a unit,
mm-hmm.
we're going to lose this country very, very quickly. And it's scary to the sense that I don't want to see what this country going to look like when I get 40 or 45.
Mm.
Because we'll be actually in the time where those that are in power now, they might be long and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if our generation can't develop boards, can't develop bonds,
mm-hmm.
unity,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have the same families that dominate this country, their kids are going to come in with the same mentality,
mm-hmm.
and now we're facing another 45 to 60 years of the same no development, no growth.
From where you stand, Mr. Green, why do you think it's difficult for us as Bahamians to work as a team, to work together, to find that unity and create these bonds that you speak of?
Like you said, microwave. Mm. Everybody want it now. Nothing happens now. Like, I spent 7 years. Let me give you a joke. Back to the Canada story. I made it there. And in a short, in a space of 2010,
yeah,
in a space of 3 years, I lose it come all.
Ooh, shit.
Space of 3 years.
Mm.
One wrong decision, not a bad decision, but a very inexperienced decision I made. And I lost it all. And I had to come home. And I didn't come home to a booming economy. You know, I came back to Freeport. I think Freeport at the time just was trying to get over the last hurricane. And Freeport was, you know, okay climate. It was level, right? Because I left NASA. NASA at the time had already changed. Right, you know, it was killing was out of control. You know, life was just a bit too fast. I already started to slow down. So I moved to Freeport. And Freeport taught me one thing, that was the hustle. If you to survive in Freeport, you have to be a go-getter. You have to be hungry.
Damn, Skippy.
You know, just it ain't NASA where you could just say, hey, let me knock on my neighbor's door and get sugar. You ain't doing that in Freeport. What's up?
Wow.
And
it's not
an offense, right? But it's the truth.
Exactly.
It's just that everybody in their own zone trying to do their thing, you know? And but that's the beauty of Freeport. I learned how to hustle in Freeport. I learned how to maintain three jobs at one point, and a business, right? Because now I had to find that drive. You know, it's reality. You know what I mean? You can't just go to Freeport with any and every little thing. You know, they can look at you like you're crazy. Like, nah, bro. You know, it's so bad. Like, I had a conversation one time when I was at Tino Beach. And when the guys inside the bar, he was giving an example. He said, man, the difference between, you know, NASA and Freeport dude. You know, Freeport dudes want Versace and Gucci. NASA dudes are taking little Tommy and little Nautica and they happy. But that's the truth.
It is the truth. That's the truth.
The standards is different and it's not in a bad way. You know, it's just where they're at, you know.
Oh.
And I had to learn to adjust to that, to meet that expectation, but not to meet the expectation of others. It's to meet the expectation of yourself to know that you could do it. Right.
I think we need to pause right there. The thoughts and expressions of Andrew Green are not that of the Limitless Podcast, Ruckus Man, Lord Leonard Burrows, Iridescence, people in Freeport, or people in Nassau.
No,
you stepping on some corn, bro. You stepping on some corn.
It's not the belittle at all. Like, it's just the name of the hustle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's facts.
You, like, I've never seen as much young entrepreneurs like Freeport. Like, from just a short 5-year term. Like,
yes.
A lot of everybody thinking about, yo, like, okay, I could work at Catino Port, Shipyard, Blocko, start something, stock a little bit of corn. Okay, let me try. Open up, bringing in some import-export. Or I just try, you know, buy me a record. Like, it's always the next step.
Yeah.
The next step.
Freeport has a wide variety of car rental companies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's
Think about it.
Renting a car.
Yes.
Everybody's cooking food.
Yeah.
But think about the level of success in that economy. You're not in an economy of 150,000. That's a small number. You're in an economy of 78,000 people. So the 78,000 people, maybe 35,000 are working with a sensible job. Maybe. Oh, that 35,000, maybe 4,000 is government workers. Might be a little more, maybe 10, right? The ones that's working in the industrial field, making good money, I see a minimum of 5,000. That's some 15,000 people right there. That's your market. Not everybody in that market is going to buy from you.
No.
But if you can succeed in a market of where you're getting less than maybe 3%, than the average person in the business, yo, tap yourself on the shoulder, my friend.
Yes. Facts.
You beating the odds, and them odds are great against you to lose. You know, and so that's the ability people have taught me. That hustle, like you could hustle. You got a great product. Everybody can shop with you.
Now, I'll share this with you too. If you look in New Providence, right? And if you look at the Bahamian businesses that are more successful, check the owner and check their background and see where they're from. Chances are they weren't born in Nassau. A lot of them were born here in Grand Bahama. A lot of them were born in Andres. A lot of them were born in Abaco. A lot of them were born on the Out Islands, came to Nassau and took advantage of an opportunity.
Right.
So, again, that's not to speak out against people from New Providence, because I'm from New Providence. But
shout out to New Providence.
Shout out to New Providence.
But it does speak to the mindset of someone who is from the outside looking in and sees opportunity, as opposed to someone in the situation who only sees calamity, or who doesn't see the opportunity.
Right.
Okay, so we're at question two now. Question two.
But damn, that was only question one?
Yeah, man.
Well, Rasta God.
You elaborated real. That's what it's about. Talking. I'm about to use my very dignified voice. Not to get wet, dignified voice.
Oh,
Lord. I'll get ready.
Oh, shit.
So, Mr. Andrew.
Go ahead.
Since the storm that devastated the Bahamas, and not just the Bahamas, since the storm that devastated, we're going to have to cut this one out now, but let me get back to this. Since the storm that devastated the Bahamas, and now the global pandemic affecting the world, and not just the world, but our economy, what are the difficulties that you faced as an entrepreneur?
Investors. Huh? Everybody's scared.
Oh, shit.
Everybody's scared now. I'll be honest with you. I got some friends in some high places. I mean, that's just worldwide. And even some of the most wealthiest people, they trying to hide their money. You know, it's a scary situation all around the world. That's about it for entrepreneurs. Now, I mean, when it comes to the product, you know, a lot of products can get cheap because, you know, ain't that much money flowing around. So if you got the money, you got the finances to do it, then you take advantage of it, right? Because now you have a strong negotiation bargain. Like the banks now, if you're still currently working at this current time, or you're an essential worker, or whatever it may be, have a business that's operating, they're more than likely going to bow into what you really want because they have no clients, right?
Yes,
so
facts.
It's a good and bad thing. It's just, it all depends on the position where you at. That's it.
I understand. Clearly.
I do want to ask Mr. Green. There is there's a saying taken from the Bible, building a fire resistant materials, and developing the mental fortitude and the toughness to withstand the negativity and the lack of support from persons close to you, and also the other mental stresses that come along with being an entrepreneur. Having developed that mentality, would you say that aids you in being able to be positive and maintain your resolution through times like this?
100%. 100%.
Okay.
It's all about the process of getting there. That's not easy. And I can be honest with anybody with that. That's not easy, because you're gonna lose a lot of time. You know, sometimes you find yourself, you know, spending, like I used to tell Leonard, an additional 12, 13 hours on your computer just developing, trying to get every idea that you possibly have down pack, you know, and thinking about every possible scenario. Long late nights. Sometimes you're going to feel like it's impossible to complete, you know? So you're fighting with yourself, right? And you're looking at yourself in the mirror, be like, well, can I really do this? You know? And then sometimes you really want to go to someone and be like, yo, how you really feel about this?
Mm-hmm.
And hoping that you're going to get that word of encouragement to push you forward. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And you get a complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either you're going to have to say to yourself that no matter what the situation is, I'm going to win. And not just win in a business sense of a way, but win in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you've got that mentality, anything is possible. No matter what you put your hand to, it becomes gold.
Can I ask you directly, the business that you're in, were you one of those that, because within this quote-unquote pandemic, you had persons that really profited, and then you have a lot that, you know, went through a whole lot of loss. Were you one of those that were in the bunch that said that, capitalized and really saw a profit, or was it more, okay, this season I got much more of a loss?
In a sense of negotiation, I have won.
Mm.
Okay.
Because the developer was charging X amount of dollars. Now I was able to bring that down to quite a bit. Quite a huge chunk.
Bargaining.
Yeah. Bargaining. You know, so sometimes it's not always good to rush.
Mm.
Sometimes you really need to just sit and just wait the course.
Mm.
You know, so in a sense of way, I won in that sense.
Mm.
Right. Also, it gave me the opportunity to watch the market. Mm. Again, tourism is a very serious market. Like, you know, it goes up and down. It has a season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a lot of my friends that I know that are trying to start business within this industry, they're now able to develop different plans and different strategy mm-hmm. on how to keep their business afloat mm-hmm. during times as, you know, hurricane crisis such as this,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they're all taking a different look, you know. So to me, I think it was a win-win situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't consider it a loss. You know, if you gain in knowledge, you're still winning.
Mm-hmm.
If you're losing money, you're still winning. You don't take losses. The minute you start saying you're taking losses, you already lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not. Mm-hmm. Everything is a learning experience. It's like a bad relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. She might not have liked you because you didn't buy that Michael Kors bike. But, you know.
Bro, if she leave you because you ain't buy a Michael Kors bag, that's a win.
Yeah.
That's a win.
You know, well, listen, you got some guys or something. You got some people that take that to heart. You know, like, oh my, I can't believe she leave me like this. You know, he might have feel like he lost the biggest thing in the world. Actually, he won. You know, or you just learn a lesson. You know, it might not be that she wanted to buy. It might have just wanted, she just might have want you to show us some type of act of service.
Mm.
You know, it's different love language.
Come on, so it's man. You can't leave the fella because he ain't buy you no Michael Kors. Nah, come on.
We have some shallow women, you know, Leonard. Like extra shallow.
Right. But you got some shallow dudes too, because absolutely. I mean, you can. You know, if she threatens an entire relationship over a Michael Kors bag, and you give into that, but you know the stalkers only go up from there, because next time it can be two bags,
a Gucci,
then it can be a Gucci bag, then it can be like I don't know a Rolls Royce truck, I don't know,
mix up.
She want a spaceship, she want a trip to Mars, all that bullshit.
But Mr. Green, I'm picking up on, I'm liking what you're saying. I'm seeing a lot your mindset that keeps coming back to me. Just in the fact of you saying, listen, if you start thinking in terms of losses,
mm-hmm.
then you've already lost. You see everything as a lesson. And that's a very powerful mindset to have.
That's a very good point, Mr. Green. I think everyone that listens to this episode, if they don't take too much from it, from this. That should be one of the main things they take away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not about winning or losing. It's what did you learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
Not every loss is a loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they apply it to life too, because that's just starting business.
Yes.
Even sometimes when we think we make decisions that's wrong, it's about what was the lesson learned in that. So
mm-hmm.
You're teaching some life lessons, Mr. Green.
do you know that the average business owner that succeeded in a business that was never their first business?
No, I did not know that.
Didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
98%. Mr. Carson that owns Island Seas.
Island Seas, yes.
He has in one of the offices, he has a plethora of businesses that he owned before making it to Island Seas. I think it was over like 15 different ventures.
Ooh.
And I was able to one day sit down and talk to Mr. Carson. He was telling me, you know, how he started out. And he started making his money from snowmobile racing. You never thought, right?
Snowmobile racing. As in S-N-O-W?
Snowmobile racing.
In the Bahamas?
No, Canada.
Okay.
Thank you for clearing that up.
I still ain't never see snow, especially in the Bahamas. So.
No. But that's how he started out. And he had a few different businesses. I think one was something to like electrical store. Started getting some contracts. And eventually he just moved down the line of real estate. The most the most wealthiest set of people in our country today as the humans have very huge real estate portfolio. That's the end game. Like, I'm a business advisor. When I first went to him about the old Adelba coastline, he was thrilled. You know what his next question was? And then what? I'm on the phone like I'm on the phone like, Dave, what you mean? And then what? Okay, we succeeded. He said, okay, and then when you start to see the money, then what happens? You get hungry, you decide to buy a new Mercedes, and then what? So I was like, and then what? What you mean, then what? Okay, then buy another boat. You know? So I said, buy another boat. I'm like, we buy another boat, then we put another one in Senadani, Lucho, Exuma somewhere. And his response again was, then what? And I'm sitting down like, what is this boy talking about? So he says to me, said, Andrew, let me explain. You can't keep your money in one business. You're going to eventually have to take a portion of what you're making. You're going to have to put it up. And you're going to have to get to the real end goal game, which is real estate. See, real estate is long-term money. It's not money that you could just go in there and just take what at will. That's business money. When you talk about future investment money, it's all in real estate. Real estate it's so funny. The funniest thing about real estate, it goes up 3% or 4% a year, depends how well the economy runs. But you have a small investment there and it goes up every year. But you won't see it until the next 15 to 16 years. And that changed the way I thought about a lot of things. So I'm like, fuck, you know, I wanted this business, that business, this business. So then what I do with all this money? And then he said, go ahead and do some history. Go check out Gary Vee. Go check out Warren Buffett. Go check out the United States President Trump. What Trump money comes from?
Real estate. That's right.
So when you start to think about it, it made me change my perception on how I view things. So if you view situations. So that's my little take on that. But the first business that a person normally owns is never the last. You know, it's always going to be something else, something else. And as the money grow, the business grew. And if you're smart enough, so you won't go bankrupt or go broke, you just keep moving. And you keep moving with the time. Look at Sabas. Sabas is a good example.
Well, yes.
Started off in numbers.
Numbers, yeah.
Then he took his money and he went into what? Real estate,
yeah.
He sold, like, his property sold so fast that I think it sold in what? 3 months? Four months?
About 3 months, yeah.
Yeah, about like, it didn't last long. Yeah. Like, he didn't last long at all. And then he took his money and went into the next development. And he started, I can't remember the next game and stuff I have.
But, and then he did the venture capital thing.
The venture capital, and now look at media.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's growth. His money ain't just sitting, Island Luck ain't making no money right now.
No. But the Island Luck brand lives on.
And E! News is making money.
Oh, yeah. ILTV is making the most coin.
You know? So that's a good model to look at. And he's young. He just kept moving.
Yes.
So if we stay complacent into one venture, we're eventually going to phase out. Mm. And that's what happened to a lot of business. Look at Hertz. Hertz just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yes.
I think, what, $2
billion? $2
billion, yes. 700,000 cars sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. The Christ. Second biggest biggest rental company in the world is now on Chapter 11.
Yeah.
Might not be such a bad thing in a business sense because, you know, you're protecting, the owner's protecting himself, right? But
plus he can sell the cars too.
Plus, that's what they're doing now. Like, they got them going for cheap, like 7,000 stand if anybody interested in buying a car.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the game is just keep moving and keep developing. And I mean, and our great deputy prime minister did a good job with that. Brent Simmons did an excellent job with that.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if his family came into money or he was born with it. But he kept developing. And I think that's where the humans lose focus on. They think about, you know, the contracts or whatever, whatever. But if the business could sustain it, then why not? You know, it's just putting yourself in a position. So that's all it is. Just keep growing.
Facts. Okay, Mr. Green, my brethren, this is more of a personal question to you.
Oh, we getting full on Maury and Steve Wilkos in this bitch.
Yep. Getting. This is a personal question to you, from us to you. And I know other persons may have their own point of view, and we might get some backlash for this. Okay, just letting you know. Okay,
all the smoke. All the smoke.
We want all the smoke. Bring it forward. Okay, so Andrew, if you could give two advice on what not to do in entrepreneurship or just beginning in entrepreneurship, what two advice would you give to the people?
Two advice?
Just two advice on what not to do. Because everybody has this tendency of, I know what to do, you can't tell me nothing, and this and that and this and that. Okay, let's switch it up. What not to do?
Don't focus on money. Focus on quality. So don't focus on money.
There we go.
If you go in there focusing on money, you already lost from you jumping the gate. You're gonna have to learn that lesson.
Cut that cut out right away.
Yeah, you know, don't think about the money. Think about quality. Think about your clients' service. You give excellent service. It's like an infection. You know, it's people just gonna come back. You know, you're gonna be the first person. I prefer being the first person on a client's mind than to be the first person they think in their wallet. Because that's going to come automatically. They're going to pay you for your service. They know what you're going to do. They're hiring you, so you're going to pay you for your service. No matter what it is, you're selling water, that's a service. You know? They didn't want to go ahead and purchase a bottle of water from China and buy the machine to reverse osmosis and put it in the bottle. So they hire you. They come to you and be like, hey, I want to buy your water. But if you do it with a happy smile and the quality is really good, hey, I need to go back to this guy for water. You know, and then they're going to tell a friend.
Listen. Before you even go there, listen. This is an official invite. Coming up with another topic about customer service in the Bahamas. I would love for you to be another caller, a special guest caller on that show.
Don't get started on customer service in the Bahamas.
Today's on there.
All the smoke.
All the smoke.
Special topic.
Hey, what?
we need all the privatized workers need a special topic for them.
Right, like, yeah. We're going for all the workers. The set behind the cash register who got a problem every day, NIB, road traffic, we're going for everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah, but they be putting some pressure to them. So,
listen, you know, I understand. Shout out to them who actually doing their job and actually trying to make a difference. But I'm talking about the set who got the stink attitude from your walk through the door.
And they mouth long.
What
you come in here for? Who tell you coming here for a passport, bitch? This is the passport office.
The fuck? What's your next advice on what not to do? You said don't go in there looking for money because you go in there you lose. Which and I completely agree with you on everything because you're supposed to be delivering exceptional service, and once you deliver exceptional service, people will empty their pockets just to receive that service.
Yes.
You know, like the Bahamas tourism, people do empty their pocket to come to the Bahamas because we give in tourism, we give exceptional service.
Yes.
And also, what would be the next advice you offer to entrepreneurs not to do?
Not to do. Always listen to your client.
There you go.
So you think
no matter what it is, even if they might be wrong, still listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because people base their one-on-one with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's like a marker. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. If it goes bad, everybody's gonna know.
Mm-hmm.
If it went really good, everybody's gonna know. Even if you're in a bad situation and you handle it very professionally, you still gonna come out on top. That's my second. You know, so always pay attention to your clients, your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep it. Keep your composure.
Does that tie into the saying that the customer is always right?
But now hold on now. I see. That may have been true in decades gone past when the customer may have had sense, right? But unfortunately, we live in days. Some customers, I mean, we live in a time when a dude will get on social media. He just robbed the gas station, right? He will brag about robbing the gas station. He will show you the money that he robbed the gas station. The gas station is in the background through the window and you can see it, right? And the police kick down the door during the FB or IG live feed. And what is this nigga gonna say? Who snitch on me? Well, motherfucker. Y'all some hating ass niggas. Y'all snitch on a nigga. I only trying to come up and... That nigga is your customer.
That nigga ain't right.
And you can tell me that nigga as your customer is right?
The people, he dance. He dance.
Is he considered a customer or a criminal at that point?
I would imagine he has patronized that business a few times. He has scoped out or whatever to find out what they
do. He bought some gum out of there before.
Yeah, even if he bought some gum. Even if he did just
titles. He wanted a promotion, so he said, you know, the customer situation ain't working, I'm giving them money, so I need to get money back.
Okay.
he just went the wrong way with it.
But okay, then you go on Facebook or IG live and brag about it.
But
see, my old thing about this, you know, if you would like to stay in the chateau de prison.
Her Majesty's prison.
If you want to live in Her Majesty's pleasure, I mean, there's more simpler ways to go. I'm sure if you just say, hey, look, just knock on the gate. Hey, listen, I feel like I can rob somebody. I can't spend 1 week here.
Let me see how it feels. I might change my mind.
I don't think they're going to let you in for free for a week. You got to do something. I had the heaters over there is pretty good. No, he just wanted some hot air.
Ah, okay, all right. That's how it's going.
I don't do well.
The new weight loss program.
Which one is that? Because you have a weight loss program going around as HIV/AIDS, the permanent weight loss program.
No.
No, we ain't one.
Ain't no coming back from that. You can come back from prison.
No. You can come back. You might not come back the same size.
You might go and get it in prison too, but anyway, that's another story.
That's another story for another. Oh, shit.
But Mr. Green, I have something pressing that I want to just place before you. What about, and this is prevalent in the Bahamas, where we do this no cash refund. And I am just
foolishness.
I agree. That is bullshit.
That is bullshit of the highest order.
Mm.
That's foolishness. And that's the owner being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was doing it for ANA Mobile. And I sat down and I said, you know what? If someone paid $200 for a phone and they had a issue or a complaint, give them the $200 fine.
Exactly.
Take the loss.
You know, it's their money. You sold a faulty device.
Mm-hmm. And chances are you knew it was faulty.
Chances are, yeah.
Because I
you didn't really go ahead and check.
I would imagine I would imagine everything's supposed to be checked.
Mm-hmm.
For a company of certain size, everything has to be checked.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to say that, you know, but it's just sometimes it's difficult. I can be honest with you.
See, I live in the fact that I'm the type of person that believes everything is black and white.
Mm.
And I know everything isn't black and white, because there are some gray areas, there are some blue, you know, there's colors. Right. But I believe in black and white, right? It's right, wrong is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're bringing in products and you're expecting to sell these to the masses, to these going on the market, check each and every. This also goes back to what you said, quality.
Yes.
You
deliver
quality. Yes.
Well, let me ask this then. You to use the example of a phone, in instances where you're dealing with products like such, someone buys a phone, comes back in a reasonable amount of time, because you got some slick niggas out there, comes back in a reasonable amount of time, maybe that same day, and says, hey, look, I have a problem with the phone.
Mm-hmm.
What is the issue in taking their phone, giving them another one, and you take on the headache of what's the problem with this phone? Let the customer be on their merry way.
Mm-hmm. See, I understand that, and I completely agree with it, because I'm a type of person, I fix phones.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Again, so much time persons have brought me phones to be like, boy, this person charging me $100 to do this and this and that. And the fix is literally $0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when persons came to me and said, boy, Lennon, my charging party working on my, how much you can charge me to change it? And I politely took off my badge, turn the phone upside down, and clean the charging port out, plug it in, and it's working.
Wow. Wow.
Companies can do this. Mm. Like you said, Andrew, that's them being selfish.
Yes.
Yeah. That's being selfish. Yes. That's being greedy.
Mm. Greedy. Oh, you know? Yeah, that's the word.
That's wicked.
Listen, electronics, these are man-made.
Mm, they will fail. Mm.
But certain things happen to them. If you have your electronics stored inside a dirty place, don't expect them to function
100%. No.
You're going to have to clean them off. You're going to have to open them back up, clean them up and things like that or whatever.
Of course.
People don't. It's rubbish. Rubbish.
Hogwash. People being greedy.
Mm. So to say that no cash refund, you're greedy. And I really don't feel sorry when your business closed down.
No.
Because you have little, like, God forbid, if my old lady go to a store, shop for some things, some groceries, get home and realize the groceries are rotten. She takes them back and say, hey, this is rotten. Oh, we can't give you no cash back. And you already left the store with this. And I'm sorry? I'm what? I go into the store next. And there have been numerous times where we have companies taking advantage of young people, old people. Old people don't have the strength to knock a motherfucker out.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
I'm being real, Andrew.
I'll tell you this too. Unfortunately, that seeps over into tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a tourist who's had the same experience and leaves the country and gives his experience. Now
I
what?
I agree. I spent numerous times on TripAdvisor. I spent hours.
TripAdvisor is telling the truth.
I've seen some TripAdvisor review that was complete hogwash, because you do have malicious people out there that leave horrible review because nobody was catering to them and their bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Hand and foot.
In a way, in hell, you could assault an employee and then go on TripAdvisor and say the place was rubbish, it's garbage, and this and that, because nobody catered to you.
Exactly.
As black people, let us go in America, slap a flipping an American.
Slap the gal who work at Chick-fil-A. See what happened to you.
She'll say, Chick-fil-A. They nice. But let's be real. Slap somebody in America as a tourist. Watch how fast you be in jail.
Yep.
You black, you might get shot.
That's right.
This is what I'm saying. I would give TripAdvisor a 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to literally weed out the bullshit. I spent hours on TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
I spent hours on TripAdvisor. Mm-hmm. And I read through all the complaints, especially for the company that I work for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention the name, but I read through all the reviews for that, most of the reviews for that, and other companies in the Bahamas, and I've seen where it's complete hogwash. Companies that I have patronized,
mm-hmm.
and got exceptional service.
Yes.
Exception as a Bahamian citizen in the Bahamas, got exceptional service from people leaving horrible reviews just because somebody. What the fuck? If a place doesn't have a hot tub, they don't have a goddamn hot tub. How can you say the place is filthy and dirty if they don't have a hot tub?
But see,
because we don't want to cater to your needs because you want fuck in a hot tub.
But listen now. That kind of speaks to the mentality of people. Look at this recent woman in Central Park in New York.
Man.
This black man, he's threatening me and my dog. Really?
Oh, Jesus. This black man just stood there and recorded her. And wow. That night she gave an apology.
So think about a person like that in an Atlantis, in a Bahama, in Grand Lucayan. Just because the Chardonnay is in from 1930. Oh, her whole trip is ruined. And she's never coming back to the Bahamas again. And no, bitch, no. Okay, no. No. All right?
So, but like I said,
Mr. Green, you wanted to chime in.
I got to play devil's advocate on that one.
Oh, shit.
Like, mind you, there are some bad experiences, you know. Mm-hmm. It goes 50-50. There are some bad experiences.
Oh, but I'm looking forward to the devil's advocacy.
Go ahead, right. Mr. Green. Mr. Green?
I think optimistic, right? So you're meeting personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what customer service is about, right? There is no situation without a rebuttal, and there's no situation without a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the game. You're going to encounter people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, that you give example. Okay, you know, the person made noise because it was on the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? I'm totally sorry that we didn't have a hot tub facility, but is there anything that we can do to accommodate you to help along with the hot tub? How about I give you, you know, a free dinner at the restaurant? That might make them feel a little better than to ignore the fact that they're bringing up this complaint. Now, I've seen where guests have made complaints, right? And they will make a complaint to one person and they go to someone else and they get a different response. And you get a different response from the guest. It's just how we look at it, right? You know, sometimes being on the front line, in the tourism industry and the service industry, it is very frustrating because you deal with
thousands of different personalities.
It's gonna be some days where you're just gonna get up with your bed and be like, "Fuck this job today."
I think that's every job. I think that's every job. Everyone goes through that once or twice.
If you are an owner. I can't afford my employer to be saying fuck this job today. You know, I need my employer to understand that hey, that your demeanor determines our paycheck. Because we're an investment together. You see what I'm saying? So if I see my employer getting frustrated with the level of people that he's dealing with, the quality, he's not handling it as well as he should, then do I need to create incentives for him to put up with the bullshit? That's what we don't think about, right? Because think about it. You're going to work making $7.50 an hour, and you got someone people just bombarding you every other minute for 8 hours straight or 7 hours straight. That is torture. That is mental abuse.
Yes, then
you got to come home, right, to your family, or to your child, mommy, daddy, you know, and then you gotta be changing pampers. All these different things, all these different activities, your car may go down.
Don't let the actual person you're in a relationship that on the rocks. Oh shit.
Yeah.
That makes it even worse. Yeah, that makes it even worse. So if I say to myself, okay, as a manager, you know what? Today, let's give Jason an extra $100 today. You know, I saw that Jason had a rough day today. You put $100 in Jason on today, I guarantee you, Jason, productivity is going to shoot through the roof.
You better not break.
He's going to be the happiest. That person will be saying, you know what, I don't really like black people. Jason be like, you know what, I love you.
Indeed, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Because his perception just changed. He already knows, this is what I signed up for. But listen, my boss got my back so much. I got to have his back.
Yes.
And that's where we got to get to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I completely agree with that. Incentives and things like that. I think more employers should initiate some type of incentives for employees that are going above and beyond, not just dangle the promotion in front of their heads for a whole year and then give it to them. But in truth be told, we have a very lazy society.
Yes, we do. We have a
very lazy society.
I would add to that, not only lazy, but entitled.
Yes, lazy and entitled society.
I can guarantee you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Green, almost every Bahamian worker across this Commonwealth, come December, is expecting Christmas pay.
Fuck, I expected Christmas pay.
But hold on. hold on. When it comes to that, how was your performance throughout the year?
See, I can expect it because when I get up and I put on my uniform, I'm no longer looking at myself. I'm looking at the bigger goal. I'm clocking in and I know my duties. I'm going to execute my duties to the best of my ability. I'm going to give the job 110% because at the end of the day, whether I like it or not, I signed up for it. And this is right now taking care of the bills. I cannot afford to be lackadaisical, lazy, or whatever, or entitled, because I'm not entitled to that. The only thing I'm entitled to is my exchange for hours for currency.
I'll tell you this too. And Mr. Green, you can also correct me if I'm not mistaken. That same mentality of, I'm going to give this job 110%. You have to look at your entrepreneurial idea and say, I'm going to give this 1,010%.
Agreed.
Right.
So that's where I always looked at it as the job is the training ground for you to develop the ethics and the skills and the mentality needed to get through and to develop an entrepreneurial mind.
So, Mr. Andrew,
Ruckus, it's, you know what, I agree with you guys. It's like a catch 22. You know, we have a lot of companies that are top heavy, meaning where, you know, management makes this great salary, and the money at the bottom of the engine is ridiculous. I mean, you can't expect engine to perform the way you want it to perform without service. You know, and I've seen it coming from previous companies where upper management, they put this pressure on management, and you know they gotta look for their family. You know what I mean? And this is an opportunity for them. Something this is that part of the journey, right, where they can change their legacy. And so now you have him or her in a position where they don't really want to come down on the staff because they know the staff ain't making what they need to be making. And at the same time, they can't really go in a meeting and fight because then, you know, Satan up there saying, listen, man, look like you need to get your throat cut.
Yeah.
I don't want to get my throat cut because, you know, I got to feed my family. It's a difficult system. You know, the system have to change. Gary V said something that's very powerful. He said he don't look at his employees as employees. He look at them as investors. Without them, nothing is possible.
Exactly.
And the minute we could change that idea in the Bahamas, that, oh, yeah, he's the boss, bro. Yeah, man, just go in there and tell him, you know, so-and-so send you in here. Right?
I think the Virgin Mobile has that very same concept as well.
Exactly. Look at Richard Branson. You know, Google has that same thing. Facebook has that same thing. You know, are reaching in the times where people ain't really looking for jobs anymore. They don't care about job. They don't care about your job. You know, they want to do something they love.
Yes.
And you have a lot of people. You have this new millennium coming up. They don't care about a salary. You know.
Real talk.
If they doing something they love, but you got them committed 100%. I have friends who have car washing business, mobile car washing, doing good. And they can be the owner. And they washing car. And they having fun. This is what they love doing. And they're providing a great service and they're getting paid very well for it.
I think what that speaks to then is, like you mentioned earlier, Mr. Green, if a person is happy or satisfied with what they're doing, you're going to get greater productivity.
Yeah. A lot of
Facebook understands that. Google understands that.
Major corporations
understand that. So this whole antiquated way of doing business is phasing out.
Yeah.
And major corporations realize this because what they don't want is Bob, who's been stuck in a corner for 8 years doing accounting, and nobody pays attention to Bob until he walks into the building with an AK-47. We're trying to avoid that. Hey guys, I'm Bob. I'm here, and fuck this job, and all of you are gonna die. Then it's wait, Bob. Wait. What did we do to you? You stuck me in a corner for 10 years and treated me like dirt. All going to die.
Yeah, we're not like, trying to excite any violence on any company and things like that, but shit happens.
Exactly.
One of the things that I realized the company do, companies don't put you in a place where, like, you would apply for, you're good at cleaning. Mm-hmm. You love cleaning because it gives you time to think.
Mm-hmm.
You apply for cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
They take you and make you a busboy, a bartender, steward, or they tell you you can mind the garden, you can go outside and cut grass. He didn't apply for that.
Yeah.
If you don't have the position available, don't offer him the job, or you can let him make a choice. Don't hire him and then say this is what we're hiring you for. And because you've taken that person and put them in a position where they now have to re-educate themselves to become good at that. And if they don't have a passion for that, I'm sorry. They're going to give you lackluster.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely
service.
Right.
And one of the things that I realized with entrepreneurship is to be a great leader. Because everybody want to be boss. I never had that goal to be a boss. My goal was always to be a leader, and it still is. To be a great leader, you must first have to be a great follower. That was one of the lessons that Jesus Christ taught. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I would see you can't, for those of them who trying to become an entrepreneur, you have to look at, you can't just diss your job. You can't just diss your employee. You can't just give them lackluster service or whatever, because that's you serving and learning. If you become a boss right away, you're never going to understand what it means to be an employee. So you're never going to be able to appreciate your employee. Your downline will always suffer. And in I would say sooner or later, you can suffer for it.
Well, I mean, in addition to that, whatever kind of employee you are is going to prove what kind of quote unquote boss you can be. So
that's true.
If you're on a job and you don't like it and your response is, fuck this, I'm going home, and you abandon your job, the first obstacle you come across as an entrepreneur, you're going to say, fuck this and go home. Now, maybe if that's your mentality, maybe you don't deserve to be an entrepreneur. And if your mentality is, fuck it, I'm going home, right? But you claim to serve this generous God, right? What God is going to reward abandonment?
Reward a stink attitude.
It's not going to happen.
One of my former managers always stated that he hated when the time come to fire. I say, why? You have to do what you got to do. That's your job. He's like, it's a part of the job that I don't like simply because I don't see that employee. I see the family that I they're taking money from. I taking food out of their mouth. And a lot of people don't see that.
But see, on the flip side,
that's leadership.
On the flip side, if you are on a job, regardless if you don't like it, or they treat you bad or whatever, or you just have a bad attitude, when you walk off of that job because something isn't going your way, you are not thinking about your family.
I agree. You walk up the job.
That's
you don't want the job. That's your business. As a matter of fact, Anyway,
what was that? Mm. If you walk up a job, you just ain't cut for it.
No.
You ain't cut. You come to play with life.
Exactly.
And life can teach you a lesson.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I've seen working in HR, future and past context. Mm. I've seen really great people that didn't deserve it. Mm. You know, and because of, you know, the corporate foolishness, it happens, right? And I've seen some idiots. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you got the most easiest thing to do is just to get up and clock in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even do that with sense.
Go on, Mr. Green.
Yeah. And can't even clock in with sense. You're not here.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is not present. You know, you're somewhere else, but it ain't present, you know. When it comes to employees, everybody has a different struggles, you know. An owner has to deal with, you know, huge expense and trying to make a profit and pay everybody.
Mm-hmm.
An employee deals with helping that product move, the owner idea move into light, you know, and making it into profit. You know what I mean? So it's a battle between, you know, both people. But I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe, I think some owners get too high that they forget about the core of what they started.
Now, see, that is a damn good point, sir.
I always say in a prayer to myself, God will never carry me too high that I forget where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Moses walked among his people. Mm-hmm. He was never deep.
Mm-hmm.
Far in some super chariot away, you know, at some big castle. He was on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the most humblest people that ever walked this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're supposed to emulate. God walked the same thing. Jesus did the same thing. He was amongst us, you know. The minute we go too far up, I think we put our product at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And we put our product at risk is because now we're entrusting what we call upper management to say that this is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, communication is so, so key, right? And communication can be mixed up so easily.
Yes.
And I'm learning this in this corporate environment that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
It's that a simple email could be interpreted 1,000 different ways.
God damn it.
And by time that email gets down, by time that situation comes to try to come to some resolve, it's months later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How much money you done lose during that time?
Mm-hmm.
How much profit? How much capital gain you could have gained in that time if you just paid attention to the small amount? Sometimes it's the small things that either way big company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my forte on it.
And I think also managers, some managers ain't supposed to be managers.
No,
because if you have
power hungry,
if you have leaders in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said on the other podcast, if you have leaders in place, there isn't a me no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a we.
Mm-hmm.
It's a us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a let's do this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I would always respect about the president of our company is she when she addresses issues, she don't say her or the company. She us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We need. She accepts some fault on her. She addresses us as, you know,
yes,
team.
To get that creates a sense of accountability.
Yes, and like Andrew mentioned, Moses and things like that. Moses them were leaders. That's why they went into why he walked with his people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you could even take it from this point of God, the Bible said God walked with Adam in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
He wasn't so high and mighty that I could talk to you from the clouds. No, I come in down to you because I'm your leader. I'm your father. I'm your friend. We in this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it too, with leadership. Great leaders know how to lead by example.
Yes.
And you think about it. You have your body. Let's say you hop in the shower and the only thing you wash is your head. You neglect your arm, your legs, your stomach, those parts that really need the washing.
You're going to be stinked in a month.
You still are going to be, you're going to be real stink. So it's the same thing in a lot of companies, whereas, listen, your leaders, it's all about me, I, you have to place value on the people that are the arms and legs yes. of your baby, your yes. organization.
Yes.
Because without them, if all your workers decide to go home that day,
mm-hmm.
you lose productivity, you lose everything.
Everything.
So, you know, to just value, okay, I'm head honcho, I'm mm-hmm. boss, I'm this.
Mm-hmm.
You it's gonna be a real stinking organization. Yes, you know?
Yes.
Teamwork is the way forward. Honestly. And that this bureaucratic, like you
democracy.
Said,
Ruckus,
antiquated system
mm-hmm.
is gonna die down because what I'm also seeing is a lot of our people are the system is so dangerous, mm-hmm. it's breaking down persons. Mentally,
yes,
you know, and I was going to interrupt Mr. Green earlier because I just wanted to state this while we were on that topic. Mm-hmm. It is, what if we also looked at it in a different perspective? I know you guys were saying that okay, some persons just don't deserve to be when they're going on the jobs and they're mucking up,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it has a lot to do with sometimes people go a little bit outside of their lane,
mm-hmm.
right. So that's going back to what Lord Leonard said, whereas this person applied to clean.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you get into organizations and they say, well, anyway, I can put you here.
Mm-hmm.
You take them outside of their element mm-hmm. and they're not able to necessarily function there. It's just because that's not their lane.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put them where they're supposed to be, they're going to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And do well for the company
mm-hmm.
in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it isn't necessarily that you just ain't deserving X, Y, Z. It's you quite out of place. And sometimes that might mean leaving an establishment
mm-hmm.
to go to where you're going to be placed into your slot, into your lane.
Or doing, as Mr. Green mentioned earlier, as he has done,
mm-hmm.
Creating
yes.
the space.
Yes.
So absolutely. Instead of wearing the uniform, mm-hmm. creating
Create
the uniform.
The uniform, yes, yes, yes.
Awesome. Mr. Green, are you still there?
Mm-hmm. Right here. Listening.
Wonderful. And we are almost at the end of our show. And at the end of the show, we always ask this one question.
Mm-hmm.
How can we overcome? How can we fix this? But the question is going to be word. How can we overcome? Move past the severe blow that not only we took, but the economy took.
We'll start with you, Mr. Grant.
how are we going to overcome?
Yeah.
No overcoming. Mm. No overcoming. You know, that's like saying, COVID is a pandemic right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come. It's going to become an epidemic. You're going to mm-hmm. have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the overcoming, it's the readjusting.
Okay.
Everybody wants to overcome. You can't, listen, it's, a bump is a bump. You can ride over that bump regardless, right? Mm. You know, when you go in the air, you can't tell the pilot, hey, avoid that cloud. It's going to be bumpy. No. He has a vector. He has a set course. That plane is in autopilot,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's going to go in that one direction. Whatever it encounter, if it's not so severe, it's going to take, right? So it's not overcoming, it's just readjusting. That's all we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right, Ruckus.
And stick to it.
Awesome point. Ruckus, how do you think we're going to overcome or move past?
I think Mr. Green hit the nail on the head with readjusting.
Mm-hmm.
I find... we as a Bahamian society in general, we struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Let me give you an example. Coming towards the end of the 90s, going into 2000, the banks used to update your book, but then they stopped. They were phasing that out. But it was like Bahamians couldn't understand. When you go in the bank, tell them, update my book. Mommy, daddy, grammy, auntie, uncle, they're not doing that. Yes, they're still doing it, but wait. No, they're not doing it anymore. Even something as simple as switching from a different kind of passport, a different kind of driver's license, things like that. We struggle with readjusting. And what happens is, we get left behind in the world.
Yes.
And then because we get left behind, now we stuck and we have to accept whatever consequences come with refusing to readjust. Mm-hmm. So that's why I agree with you, Mr. Green. There has to be a readjusting. The readjustment time, you know, is not pleasant. Mm-hmm. You have to change the way you think and the way you move. It's definitely going to happen now since COVID-19. We're not going to be able to just jump on the plane anymore. It was already a change since 9/11 and more security measures were put in place. Now we're going to have to deal with medical screening along with security screening. So that's another adjustment that needs. So all of us just need to be ready for adjusting for the future. And in adjustment comes with adjustment in the way we spend our funds, the way we conduct our business, the way we give business, because even during this time, a lot of companies had to adjust to curbside service. So all of these is now going to become the new normal. And I think it's wrong for people to think that, you know, that some sort of all clear is going to be given and we're going to go back to what we knew. The world has changed as we knew forever.
Yes.
Ms. Iridescence, how do we resolve this issue?
Both you gentlemen made such awesome and valid points. I don't want to echo. I definitely agree. We are going to have to readjust. And like Ruckus Man said, that's one of the most difficult things for Bahamians to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a lot of times there's a level of complacency and comfortability that our people are set into.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just add, you know, in this readjustment period, remember now to focus as well on that mind and focus on readjusting that mindset, because that's going to be how you will continue to move through. Because if you go in this new era with the same old mindset,
mm-hmm.
you will be left behind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mr. Andrew Green, the decision is unanimous. Everybody is stating the very same thing. Adjust to the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Sabas, not to interject right there. Mm-hmm. Sabas said, when we first started the whole COVID thing, and he said, the Bahamas itself and technology has to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. You know, it's difficult for us. We're supposed to be at a level now where we could use Western Union and send money anywhere in the world. Why are we still tied down?
Especially if we want to move from third to first world status.
Agreed.
Right. You know, why we don't have companies like Cash App here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still tied down? Why we don't have a UB here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still tied down?
We have to blame our leadership for that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
We have so much different streams of revenue that we could tap into.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the old anarchy, just so stuck in the way they think,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the one or two young people that sit with them, they only really got a lotion, like Rocket say, like man.
That's you understand? Liking that? Of man.
Yes, yes.
The liking of man.
Yes.
Right?
They're not going to compromise
feelings. We have to get to the point where we're going to compromise feelings and tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way we run in this country, it's deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the average Bahamian, they ain't coming back home. That's scary, exactly. You know,
mm-hmm.
because you got a lot of, I mean, I know a bunch of them, you know, so the minute they get that degree, they say Canada, pray they ain't looking back. Or in the States,
shit,
they home. Home is non-existent to them. They home ain't. They ain't really into that because what benefit they got to come back.
Mm.
And we have so much money running through this country to where we're supposed to be able to take care of our own. You know, like they talk about the Reaganite situation, the oil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, salt. I mean, we buying salt. We make salt to send salt to bring it back to us to sell us salt. I don't understand it.
That is that. Listen, listen.
The height of fuckery.
Ooh, that's champion fuckery right there. Champion.
Like, do you like? I just found it out today. Like, you know, the Chinese buy all the conks.
Mm-hmm.
They came to China, mm-hmm. make all the Bahamian stuff, and then our people buy it back
and sell it.
Sell it in the straw market. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing that?
That makes no sense.
No sense.
None.
And then we're taxing. Watch this. And then we're taxing the poor class.
Mm-hmm.
The poor class that are already trying to make a dollar in the tourism industry. We're taxing them. We're putting VAT on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to sell that and put their price on that. And now you've got guests. This is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
When it don't have to be.
No, it doesn't.
You know? So it's so much things we have to look at. But I'll go back to unity.
Mm-hmm.
The more of us through podcasts, through social media, like, you know, Graham Rutherford, Bahama News, Bahama Press, even though sometimes some of the things they put out don't be real. But, you know, the more of us be aware of what's going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to wake people up, and that's what we have to do. You know, the time, it's enough for big companies coming here, taking the money, and behemoth people getting nothing.
Yes.
We pay in thousands and millions of dollars in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see nothing. Nope. We can't even get proper health care.
No.
Look at Freeport. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned the other day that I was doing some history check, you know, just digging up some history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these, not to bash them, politician, but a lot of them, they get lucky, you know, they get some good contracts.
Yeah.
They start a business, they get some good contracts, they make their money, right? What happened to Freeport? Because you can't get a piece of the pie over there, you just overlook it. No,
pretty much.
One of the most beautiful cities in the Bahamas. They keep overlooking, you know.
Now the reason for that is multifaceted, but we definitely ain't getting to that now.
Okay, so we are now at the end of our podcast, and I would like to thank Mr. Andrew Green for being such a intellectual, knowledgeable, awesome caller, special guest caller for the day.
Yes, sir.
Once again, in the studio, we have Ruckus Man.
And that was me with the bullshit.
Miss Iridescence, CEO of Iridescence Media.
Peace, love, life, light.
Andrew, you can say goodbye to the people.
No, it was a pleasure, everybody.
We look forward to speaking to you again, Mr. Green.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Yes, and I've been awesome. And I've been your host, Lord Leonard. We'll see you next time.